Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio for the first show of 2012 with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing well. Do I still have a little bit of tan left? I was tan a couple of days ago.
You're like dark beige.
Well, I tell you, 40 degrees in South Florida will take the tan away in a hurry.
Yeah, man,
we had a great Christmas holiday. We went, me and my brood went all the way down to Key West and did the sunset sail, and I might have had a rum or two, but
really?
I'm back and reasonably sober.
They had liquor there?
They did have a little bit, yeah.
I heard there were rumors like that. Would you see any crazy people? Isn't that what happens in Key West?
Oh, yeah. That Duval, it's like the southernmost Bourbon Street or something. It's
That's how they sell it?
Well, that's what they tell me. Not that I've ever been to Bourbon Street.
But. What about, did you see Jimmy Buffett or any celebrities?
I didn't see anybody famous, but of course you hear a lot of Jimmy Buffett and what's the
Ernest
big
Hemingway?
Burly guy?
Ernest Hemingway.
But my daughter likes the big burly guy that sounds, he sings like Zac Brown.
Oh.
I didn't see Zac. I just heard a lot of Zac Brown
kind of music.
So what'd you do over the holiday?
We had a staycation. We were here enjoying Atlanta, doing a lot of nothing.
Well, I got to give a shout out for my new toy, the Kindle Fire. As you actually do know, because I sent you a couple of emails, I read a lot of stuff on the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, that's a cool device, huh?
Yeah, it's the poor man's iPad, right?
There you go.
That was fun stuff.
Yeah.
But I've been looking forward to this week. It's been on the books for some time now, and it is my distinct pleasure to let our listening audience know we're going to be visiting with the leadership of the Atlanta chapter of ASTD this morning, incoming president, Mr. Steve Maul, and Grand Poobah of something that we'll find out more about here in a little bit, Mrs. Cecil Fracano. Welcome to the show, gang.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, we are delighted to have you. So ASTD 2012, you're the incoming guy. Did I say that right?
You did. I am the 2012 president and happy to have that post this year.
And did you just make somebody mad? Why did
he
you draw the short
bet.
Story?
Yeah, lost a bet. Yeah, it's actually even worse than that because it's a 3-year commitment.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, last year was president-elect, president this year, and then another year on the board of directors the following year. So it's a long-term commitment.
Now, what does a president-elect do? Is that kind of like being vice president? You don't have to do much? Or
well, no, we have a lot of different vice presidents. So the president-elect is kind of the year of pinch hitting. You kind of you got a couple different responsibilities, but you one of which is the Leadership Academy, but then you also help out anywhere you can in the chapter, whether it's membership or finance or programs or marketing. You pitch in wherever you need to, kind of a year in training, if you will.
And then you got this year you'll be president, and then the third year, what do you do in the third year?
You're immediate past president, which means you serve one more year on the board of directors.
And people kiss your ring at the meetings and all that stuff?
Not really, no. There's very little ring kissing that goes on.
So mission and purpose of ASTD in general, and then what kind of design do you have on this year specifically?
Well, the mission and vision is really about helping Georgians work better together and providing a professional association where learning professionals, those of us involved in the workplace learning and performance improvement arena, come together to both build our own competency in that area, but also act as advocates for the profession back into corporate Georgia and to act as a networking location for people in our profession to come together and actually get to know one another. Some are job seekers, some are looking to fill positions, some are just trying to get better at their job, which is a big issue in today's marketplace, is job competency.
Now, is training, is that a growth area for the economy? Or are there more people getting into training, or is this something that's kind of going away?
Well, unfortunately, when economies get bad and budgets get cut, training is often looked upon as the first place to cut the budget. Our position, obviously, is that it should be the last place.
You want to not educate your employees? That seems to be a strategy that some companies use?
They do, and unfortunately, you have fewer people in the workforce, so you don't want to actually expand their horizons at all or improve their capabilities. So it's a little bit of an irony, but in general, the focus on talent management and the focus on skill building in the workforce is getting greater attention than it has in the past, and we see that as a really good thing.
And Cecil, tell us a little bit about your role with ASTD.
So this year I am the VP of membership, which means that I work with all of the different stakeholders that we have, our individual members, our organizational members, as well as our sponsors and learning leaders from those organizational members.
And so what's the biggest challenge in sustaining your membership or growing? Are you just trying to keep them from going out the back door or what?
Yeah, that's a great question. We had a record year last year with growth.
Oh, wow.
And I think our biggest challenge is continuing to develop our members so that they stay engaged. This year, Steve will talk about this, but this year our goal is to align, connect, and engage. So instead of just having members show up to a few chapter meetings or just become members, how do we really get them actively engaged and prepare them for new jobs or help them to prepare the workforce?
So part of your charge is to kind of create a learning philosophy for the member companies? Is that what you guys, part of what you do?
It is. It, every organization is going to have its own training philosophy
Sure.
and its own workforce development approach. But at the end of the day, what they have to be able to do is understand the requirements that are going to be present in the future for the skills and the knowledge within their workforce and have a preparatory path to get their workforce there. It's interesting because there's a huge amount of job openings in America. As a matter of fact, in a study as recent as August of 2011, the Georgetown University Center on Education and Workforce said there were 2 million jobs in the U.S. unfilled.
Wow.
I know. And
you wouldn't know that by listening to
it. No, you wouldn't. 2 million jobs unfilled primarily because the workforce doesn't have the skills that are being sought.
Mm.
So clearly, you look at organizations like vocational schools and DeVry and ITT Tech and all of those schools that are advertising heavily on television today. They're trying to get people enrolled in those areas where work is available. But beyond that, beyond the vocational and technical training, there's a lot of other jobs that are going unfilled because the workforce isn't ready. And when we look at that at the workforce as a whole, we see that as part of ASTD's mission and responsibility is to make sure that our members have the skill and the competency and the technique necessary to keep their workforces engaged as those jobs continue to evolve. But secondly, in the learning world itself, our jobs are changing. And we're going to have new responsibilities and new requirements placed on us as time goes on. And we want to make sure that our members are not put in the position where they're losing their jobs because they're unable to keep up with the needs of their employers.
So now when you say your members, is a member a person that's kind of a learning expert or is it a company that has learning experts or is both? All?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our members have a variety of roles in an organization. They could be the learning leaders in an organization. They could be an individual training professional, maybe mm-hmm. someone who is a consultant or instructional designer. So there are quite a variety of roles that our members have. So we really try hard to fit all of those needs. For example, last year we had over 70 meetings with our special interest groups focusing on organizational development or technology, all of the specific areas within learning and development. So they're a variety, and we try and fit those needs in all of our member opportunities.
A special interest group. So you really do try to have something for everyone. If the need is not being currently met, if someone expresses a need, you guys try to rally around it and create a special interest group of some kind?
Absolutely. We have 11 special interest groups. Last year, we created one specifically for learning leaders. So how can you engage with other learning leaders? How can you learn what's on the horizon and keep your skills current? We also have something called a geographic interest group. So we are the Greater Atlanta chapter of ASTD, but we cover the entire state. So we have one in Savannah and Macon and actually in Northeast Georgia, and it started in Athens. So they can do groups that are closer to their locations.
That's a little bit of a haul from Northeast Georgia.
Yeah.
How is Atlanta thought of in terms of learning? Are we considered there's a bunch of smart people doing innovative things here, or are we just kind of following along with what other people are doing in different parts of the country?
Well, I can answer that question as from an ASTD perspective in that we are actually currently the largest chapter in the association as a whole.
So that's good for the membership? That means you have good membership
people? It is. We have over 700 individual members.
Wow.
in the Greater Atlanta chapter. And as I said, that's the largest chapter in the states right now within the entire.
Is it by far, or is it like just edged out somebody?
The next larger one would actually be Greater Chicago, and it has probably about 100 fewer members. But we keep going back and forth between them. They've been the largest for many, many years.
But they don't have Cecil. So
they do
so
not.
You're going to leave them in
game
the
over.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a little bit of a friendly rivalry between the larger chapters as to see who can get better membership growth but where we really do stand apart from and stand as a model in learning in general is that specialization that Cecil talked about. We have the geographic interest groups so that there's a group of people in Savannah who clearly aren't going to be traveling to Atlanta. But if they were left to their own devices, they would absolutely come up with some great programs and great events and great meetings. But by being associated with us in the Greater Atlanta chapter, we can send programming content to them. We're willing to participate in them. We're willing to invest in their meetings through their membership and affiliation.
So that's a great resource for them in the smaller communities, whereas they might by themselves not have all of the resources available to them, but they can plug into you guys and all of a sudden they have lots available.
Exactly. And I think Governor Deal did us a great service back in December by recognizing Employee Learning Week. And the proclamation talks about the fact that it's recognized that in order to have a vibrant economy in Georgia, you have to have a well-trained workforce. And so when we look at that on a statewide basis, we really see the fact that Georgia has an opportunity to shine amongst all the states in the fact that we were actually the first chapter to get gubernatorial proclamation on Employee Learning Week back in 2010, did it again in 2011. So we've had two different governors support our efforts around Employee Learning Week, which is the first week of December. Last year it was December 5th through 9th, which is really a place where all of the organizations who are participating with the ASTD recognize the value that employee learning places provides to their business and stand up and be recognized for what they're putting forth to their employees and their teams to help them improve their performance.
Now, do you find that learning professionals are pretty good at connecting with each other and building relationships, maybe use this association as a catalyst, but then they kind of go off on their own and continue to strengthen their, it seems to me like they would be better than most at building relationships and helping each other out.
They're a very social group.
Like many of us, they're very busy, too. So this really gives them an opportunity to do good networking. I think they meet people, and they also are able to fill jobs that they have in their organization, as well as find jobs and maybe even stretch their skills and see what other opportunities are out there for them.
Well, I would think if I were a training professional or an organizational effectiveness person or whatever in an organization, I find something that works, I think I'd be willing to share it. And these guys, they collaborate a lot, don't they?
They do. It's a good group of collaborators. I think we were looking at what our goals would be this year, and connecting is a big one because they want to engage and they want to learn about their field and get better at what they do, but also meet people who do the same thing so they could share their experiences.
Yeah, it's not like an engineering team or a development team in a company where they're developing trade secrets.
Right.
And, you know, unwilling to share those because there's a great competitive advantage. Well, training actually is a competitive advantage. As a matter of fact, I think it can be, the skill set of your workforce can actually be a significant marketplace competitive advantage. But training professionals are at the core wanting to help people improve. It's all about human performance improvement. And if we've developed something that will help somebody else, we're usually very willing to share that.
Another way that our chapter has involved and engaged our members is through community involvement. We have partnered with several local organizations. Atlanta Habitat is one of our key partners. They have a computer program where someone donated refurbished computers. So in order to get those as a homeowner, you have to go through 4 hours of computer training. So as an organization, our members created the curriculum for that. And last year, we delivered once a month training for 4 hours using our members, which gave them the opportunity to give back And for some people who were in transition, it gave them the opportunity to put something on their resume and for even stretch assignments. Are they good at facilitating in a classroom, or do they want to do instructional design? So we also are partnering with Goodwill Industries in a very similar fashion. Their mission is to put people to work, so we feel like it's a good fit for our organization. So we're trying to really leverage the skills and strengths of our members as well as give them opportunities to give back.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there was a couple million people that there were jobs, but there weren't the right skill matching for those people. Is there any place in your organization to kind of work with the colleges and the high schools and the the school system in order to kind of educate them in order to kind of have the right person bubble up so that there aren't 2 million unfilled positions floating around?
Yeah, and right now student engagement is one of our big issues for 2012. We want to make sure that we are participating in the higher education process, whether it be to develop future learning professionals or to at least make those people who are involved in management or business courses understand the value of learning and training in a workplace. Last year, we had the opportunity of working over at Kennesaw State with Professor, I can't remember his name, Buddy is all I remember. but one of the professors there was running a program around public relations. So as a challenge, he developed four teams in his classroom, and they worked on a public relations campaign for ASTD. So nothing to do with training, nothing to do with anything other than marketing and public relations, but they developed public relation campaigns for us as a chapter. It's interesting, their number one recommendation across the board was get more students involved in learning and development earlier in their career, regardless of their profession. And so we took that to heart, and that's one of the reasons student engagement is going to be very big for us this year.
So how do you keep a member engaged over time? Because I can foresee at least someone like myself being very enthusiastic year one. And it's fun, and I got to meet a lot of folks and all that, and it comes time to renew. How do you keep someone engaged year after year? Because apparently you're doing a fantastic job of it.
Well, there are a lot of ways to do that, and it is a challenge that we face every year. One of our goals is to keep people current, so we have to make sure that our programming reflects that well. So we have to make sure that there are meetings that teach them what's coming in the future and allow them to really engage in the art of training and learn more about what's coming. So we do have a lot of events. We have our chapter meetings. We have the SIG and GIG meetings that we talked about earlier, and we have a lot of volunteer opportunities. So we try to keep things constantly changing, and we talk to our members a lot to understand what their challenges are. We often have our chapter meetings at companies so that we can see what's really happening in the organization.
Well, that's a neat idea.
Yeah, our December meeting was at Home Depot, and we were able to have several speakers talk about their best practices. Other organizations, Sea Beyond and Intercontinental Hotel Groups, were represented there. They'd won some awards, and they were talking about how they've been using their learning and development to help their business. So trying to keep the topics current and make sure that we engage them in a way that teaches them new skills and maybe even stretches their skills.
And engagement's like anything else, whether you've joined a gym or you're a member of a book club or you want to learn, pick up any kind of new hobby or pastime, you're only going to stay engaged if you're getting some sense of reward and positive outcome from that engagement.
Right.
We're always, Atlanta is a city that has a lot of people who transition through here. There's people who move in and move out of Atlanta with great regularity, and so that does impact us. A good number of our membership decline happens from people just moving out of the area. They've been transferred somewhere else, and or the organization has transferred its headquarters or something like that. So we're constantly filling the funnel, but also working very, very hard to keep the people who are members engaged in whatever way they're going to get the best return on that investment. The membership dues isn't particularly expensive. It's $90 a year. That's not the real...
$90 a year. And I can tap into this entire professional community. I can go to the SIGs, the gigs, the events. Wow.
Yeah.
That really surprises me. I would have thought that would have been a lot higher.
Right.
Yeah, there's a fee to come to the chapter meetings, but all those SIGs and gig events are absolutely free, included in your membership dues. So it's not about the finance that
right.
will keep people to cause people to disengage. It's because they're not participating in enough that they feel they're getting value. So we're always looking at what's in it for them and what kind of value do you seek from your engagement with ASTD, and how can we construct the chapter such that we're providing that value? Because the chapter exists only for the members. There is no purpose beyond value back to our members.
Now, is one of your challenges to approach companies and say, hey, ABC company, why don't you join as a company, and that way I can now have your six or eight people that are there? Or do you go from the bottom up to the employee and say, hey, six or eight people that work there, why don't you join, and then you just have them as the members? Does it work both ways?
It works both ways. Last year we had a huge growth in organizational members,
right.
And that can really it's a cost savings, of course, but that can really help an organization to strengthen their skills, and they may offer it as a benefit to their employees. Right.
Now, is that one of your missions is to get more organizations, or are you good with the number of organizations you have, and now you're just trying to get members?
Well, I think because of the number and variety of organizations here in Atlanta, our goal is always to engage with more of the organizations.
Right.
And we mentioned earlier the Learning Leaders Special Interest Group. That's really focused on organizational leaders, and so we can share with them the value that having their employees in a chapter meeting or in some of the other
right,
events.
So they can see the benefit for the organization. Now,
exactly.
How many organizations are out there in Atlanta? Are there thousands of them that would be viable candidates for your membership?
I think...
Don't know if it's thousands,
yeah.
But it's hundreds. And the cool thing about organizational membership is you start with as few as three people. So we have several organizational members who have three people on their learning team, and they're all participating in the chapter.
Right.
And then we have several of what you'd consider to be Atlanta icon logos who are also have 20, 30, 40 people who are part of their learning and development organization who are members of the chapter.
Now, is that the way it is nationally? Are ASTD chapters around the country, are they typically large organizations with their people, or is it individuals?
It really does vary. There's 130 chapters around the U.S. ASTD, and of course the National Association is headquartered in D.C. But and you can be an organizational member at the national level, and also an organizational member at the local level. And membership in each of those is separate because you get different kinds of services
right.
from those memberships. So a membership in the national organization gets you subscriptions to their training and development magazine, T&D. You get access to their research work that ASTD does around performance improvement and
right.
human capital improvement, human capital management.
But you guys are more boots on the ground. This is where the people actually meet each other
exactly.
and interact.
Exactly.
Exactly. This is networking. This is local competency building. This is
right.
this is local stuff.
Now, what about government? Do you guys play in that area too, or is this just kind of corporations?
Well, from the learning and development side, we have governmental members. We have people who are part of Georgia state agencies who are members of the chapter. We don't engage in any kind of government lobbying or government advocacy at the local level, though the National Association does.
No manila envelopes.
No manila envelopes. No testifying in front of hearings or anything like that.
But there must be a tremendous amount of new findings, literature, thought leadership coming out of the training and development and the arena every day. To just help your members keep up with that must be an enormous task, but a tremendous benefit.
Well, we'll look at something, how technology impacts learning, something as simple as mobile devices and how mobile learning can be facilitated in an organization. Or social learning. There's two types of learning that goes on. There's the formal, where you sit in a classroom or read a book or take a test or things like that are structured learning events. But then there's also a whole science around social learning. How do I learn on the job from other people? And how can we facilitate that? You can't manage social learning. That's kind of a contradiction in terms. But but you can absolutely facilitate it by putting infrastructure in place and cultural adaptation that makes social learning happen more easily. And so those are the things that we look at as the emerging trends in learning that will help our members get better at their jobs.
But, I mean, you've absolutely got to take advantage of something like this, or you're going to fall behind in a hurry, aren't you, Cecil?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the upcoming series that we have is around a really important topic now, on talent management. So how do you keep your employees engaged, in a challenging economy? How do you keep them skilled? To Steve's point about all those jobs, how do you prepare them for a new role? So starting January 19th, we actually have a four-part series that is web-delivered. So it will be different from our chapter meetings. So you'll be able to log in while you're at your desk for an hour and hear from national thought leaders about talent management and the new research that's coming out in those areas.
How is your industry adapting to online? Because I would think it's kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, you can get knowledge and best practices from all over the mm-hmm. globe instantly. On the other hand, you can kind of remove headcount because you can get from one source and share it with lots of people. So are you guys how are you guys adapting to that?
I think we're taking the mixed approach. People always still want that networking and learning from others in
right.
person that can't necessarily always happen. But we are we are engaged on LinkedIn
right.
and Twitter.
Right.
And
you can't ignore it.
Right.
Like
exactly.
You can try ignoring it, but
yeah.
it's still going to keep happening.
Yeah.
Know?
And there's a lot of good sharing that happens there.
Right.
So I think finding that right balance between the social and
online, offline.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That's really our challenge. I think that's a challenge for the workplace learning professional, too, because their employees have their BlackBerry or their iPhone on
right.
all the time, and they want to get that information instantly. But you also still need that face-to-face connection.
Right.
Now, as I understand it, we're going to have either Steve and Cecil or other people in the ASTD leadership come and visit with us every month or every 6 weeks and keep us updated with things that are going on. So I'm really looking forward to
Is
that.
Is that going to be in person, or are they going to do it virtually?
I'm going to dial in.
She's going to phone it in.
We only do things in person here.
We'll send you a tweet or two.
Okay, that should be enough. Right.
But, I mean, there's so much going on here. I mean, you just about have to do that, or we can't even keep up. So I'm really looking forward to that. But before we let you go for today's session, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you guys, learn more about the association, and take advantage of some of these upcoming events. What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, the easiest way is, of course, our website, which is www.astdatlanta.org, O-R-G. And on that website, you'll find all of the events that are upcoming in the chapter. You'll find ways to contact each of mm-hmm. us as board members or committee chairs or any of that part of the organization. A lot of information about the programs that we offer and information on membership.
Now, is there a time when people join, or does it happen just randomly throughout the year? Is there?
They can join anytime throughout the year.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, this wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. This is Lee Cantor for my co-host, Stone Payton. We will see you all next week.